part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, hello. Another week, another episode of the Ball Card Show. I'm Jason Otero.
I'm Gary LeMaster.
And as always, we're brought to you by the Press Play Podcast Network. Gary, I got to tell you, I'm in a really good mood today.
I know.
I mean,
I've been preparing myself mentally for the soul abuse that you're going to heap
like
on me
I was
today.
Like singing musicals, like old school. Like, do you ever find yourself just like enjoying the day a little bit more?
Was it like West Side Story?
No, more like, in my house, it was a little more conservative, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. If we were going to get into something real racy, we might watch like The Time Machine.
West Side Story was a little too edgy.
Well, as a Puerto Rican, I found some of the stereotypes offensive.
What about that movie that Pat Boone was in? Where he
you're
like,
losing
it's
me.
Just like, I'm losing you. I assumed in your house you guys watched a lot of
I mean,
Pat
this
Boone
is the sports podcast.
For the sports collector?
All right, so we're going to jump right in. I've had a great week.
No Pat Boone movie talk?
No, we're not talking to Pat Boone. It's ridiculous. You're guys, I'm excited for two things. One, Gary is about to get put through the ringer. I'm so happy about it.
1 week.
Secondly, here in a minute, I'm about to introduce, I don't even know. I'm going to give myself another minute so that I don't screw up this introduction. Because I don't want to let the people down.
It's our favorite, most degenerate friend.
That was aggressive for me. I was going to say, I was going to call him a social justice warrior.
He's fist pumping to my introduction. That's all I can say.
But our good friend Drew is here. And in just a minute, he's going to jump in with us and kind of break down.
Absolutely nothing.
We just want to
hear. He's just going to talk.
All right. So let's jump right into it. G, I have a few things I want to talk about. Lately, things have been getting a little tense between us. Just in debates about sport. It's been getting a little heated, and the streak is still alive. Ask me what streak.
What streak?
The streak of you being absolutely wrong.
That's false.
About almost everything that we have different opinions on.
Full of crap.
Well, it was a really big week for me. So first off, those of you listening to the show, nothing makes me happier than when it's Sunday afternoon, I'm out working, and my phone starts blowing up from listeners that are excited about you being wrong about a lot of things.
Oh, but I'm not wrong about a lot of things. I feel like I've been completely wrong about one thing. The jury is out on whether I'm wrong about the other thing. And I will say this, if I'm wrong about the second thing, I'll own that completely.
Yeah.
I don't wish for any player to have a terrible career.
Well, there's three things. I'm talking.
Oh, you
this
are?
This is my parade, right?
Okay, well.
This is
do you
picture,
want a hat?
Well, no, it's more like a Comedy Central roast.
Do you want a hat? Right? Do you want like a little stick? Yeah. You can just.
I'm like Jeff Ross.
You like the Music Man?
Huh?
76 trombones let the big. No, that's not the.
That's why I
with?
Didn't let you do the Pat Boone stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
So let's just start things off with something real simple. A few weeks ago, getting a lot of messages about this.
You got your foot out.
There's a little bit of debate over.
You really,
there is a little bit of debate.
You just got screenshots and shit. You're just ready to go.
You were so ready for the Colts to go on a 13-4.
I own it.
Let
I
me
own
talk.
The Colts.
Let
they
me
look
talk.
Bad.
No.
They look bad.
Can I finish the sentence?
You can. But
excuse
I'm
me, Taylor. I'm going to
you.
Let you finish.
I'm preempting.
But Beyonce
you.
Had the best video of all time. Thank you. It works. I don't know how Kanye did it, but it works.
I was going to make a Chris Brown joke.
So
but
you
not.
Started out, and I thought as well that the Colts looked really dangerous. They're going to add Matt Ryan into this roster. They already have a big threat at running back. You have some young talent at wide receiver. The Colts are definitely a playoff team, really strong, and you came out of the gates like 13-14. Now, I'm going to say 10-12 is what I felt
I
comfortable
said
12 with.
12-13.
Now we're saying 12-13. I do have a listener, Ryan Ratchford, down in Southern Ohio, that has clip of you saying 14 the first week and the second week saying 12-13.
Okay.
So maybe he doctored that. Maybe he downloaded it and took the time between work and life to. He didn't send me an audio clip, but
yeah,
he's pretty sure that you said
exist.
14. But 13. Let's go with 13.
I said 12-13.
You know,
I felt pretty good about
Colts
13.
Colts are 0-1-1 so far. How you feeling?
They look bad. Matt Ryan looks like he's 800 years old. And the offensive line is not playing very well. Jonathan Taylor doesn't look good. Receiving core has been hurt. It doesn't look good there.
Would you say that the chances
of them winning 12-13 games at this point are very, very, very slim, if not completely out the window.
So high probability that you are
100%.
I'm sorry, yep. One more time.
I was wrong there. They do not look good.
Let's move on to part number two.
I hope they turn it around.
No, that's good. We're good there. Do you want to sing the song again? The trombones came. What was it?
You were the one talking about a parade.
Yeah. Okay. up next. Last week we went position by position, and you broke it down very clearly to me on how your team was far superior going into this Sunday than mine on Fantasy League.
Oh, I forgot about Fantasy. Yeah. Your team went off.
Yeah. So
your team went off.
I don't know exactly how, like, what a close margin is on a final score in Fantasy.
Did you break the scoring record for the league?
I don't know exactly. Like, this could be more neck and neck than I realize. You know what I mean? Like, if someone's never been to a race or a drag race, you would assume that, like, hey, man, those cars were kind of close together, but then you find out it was like a second and a half difference. They weren't that close, right?
Did you score 180?
Well, it was 169.82 okay. to your 80.74.
Oh, yeah, no, I had two dudes that got put on the injury report late. I had to sit on the bench. But even if they had played and everybody had played, your team just went off. You had guys have career days, like five different people.
Yeah. Career days?
Yeah.
We're going to hear about that here in just a second, because one of the guys I had on the bench – wait, so does that mean that your projections for Fantasy Week this last week, you were
– oh, my team laid an egg. Yeah.
Were you wrong about your projections on what was going to –
is this the shit we're going to do for the next hour?
No, this is just this segment, and then we'll move on. But, like, in this particular case,
I took the L for sure.
But were you wrong?
I started the best
because
roster
a week ago, if you would have said, "Hey, man, anything could happen," I'm liking my team. But it seemed like just kind of position by position. I remember you kind of dismantling.
I felt like my team was in a better spot.
Were they?
No, not last week. They weren't. That's why I said I took the L.
Were you maybe wrong about your take?
From the
this is what I'm working with, people. This is what I'm working with.
I took an L.
All right. Let's just move on to the third thing. I know this will be the most heated of debates. Luckily for you,
it won't be that heated.
And for the fantasy league, I had Tua on the bench with 47.86 points.
Or he should realistically stay for a while.
I had him on the bench.
Yeah.
No, that's a legit statement. I mean, Jalen Hurts did okay with me, 39 points. Not bad.
Nothing to be too
nothing to be ashamed of. But I feel like I'm on a heater right now. A heater of you being in a variance. And it's making me...
I'm riding the back end of variance right now. You're enjoying it, aren't you?
I am enjoying this so much.
Well, so here's the thing about Tua.
No.
We're not going to talk about Tua? I thought that's what we were going to talk about.
Do you want to debate him?
Well, there's nothing
to debate. Let's go ahead. It's fine.
What's there to debate?
What did you have pulled up? I know you came prepared.
Tua had an amazing game. He led one of the biggest comebacks, fourth quarter comebacks, that's happened in the last 10 or 15 years.
Would you say this week he threw the ball really well?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
More than 5 yards at a time. He was reaching out a little further.
Yeah.
Would you say he was stepping up in the pocket? We both agreed on that.
He did a much better job of stepping up in the pocket and watching that game.
All right, now go ahead.
It was one game. Now, and I say this, I want to be very clear. I don't wish for anybody to have a terrible career. I would love to see Tua end up being really good, because that's good for what we do. It's good for the hobby. It's good for the NFL.
You're cheering for him.
I just don't think he is that good. He had a really good game, but would you like to hear a few other people that have thrown six or more touchdown passes in a game?
Let's do statistics. Go ahead.
You ever heard of Adrian Burke?
Go ahead. I know there's more.
We also have some more recent real winners. We got Mitch Trubisky on this list. We got Eli Manning and his little brother face on this list. We got Ryan Fitzpatrick on this list. We got Matt Flynn on this list. We got Carson Palmer on this list. We got Mark Rippon on this list. We got Tommy Kramer on this list. We got Charlie Johnson on this list.
And
we
you're
Tom
saying...
Flores on this list. You got Jim Hardy. Who the hell is Jim Hardy on this list? So what I'm saying is that Tua had a hell of a game. No question about it. He had one hell of a game. But going into that fourth quarter, he had not had a hell of a game.
That some would say that might be the hardest part of the game to do well in.
Well, some would say that. Except what do defenses tend to do when they have a two or three touchdown lead with 10 minutes, 12 minutes left in the game?
Go ahead.
They play prevent. That's what they do, which is terrible. It's a terrible defensive strategy. It's something I've never understood about the game of football. You've done one thing the entire game. It's worked really well. And then you're like, okay, so now we're just going to give up everything in front of us. We're going to let them throw 15 to 20 yards at a time and just not let them get in the end zone, which doesn't work too well when you have guys that run 4.23 40s on the other side of the field. And when you have Mike Gesicki, that touchdown catch that he made was so dumb. He jumped 36 inches in the air.
The throw was the only place they could throw it.
It was literally the only place that it could be caught by anybody.
Yeah.
Now, that is the strength of Tua. He is a very accurate quarterback. He just doesn't push the ball downfield very well or very consistently. This week he did. Mm-hmm. Can he build on it? We'll find out.
And I'd say it looked like the first week one, he didn't seem to struggle with that too much as well.
He didn't do it too much in week one.
He did it enough. The defense showed up a little too much. But I think your whole prevent theory late in the game, more quarterbacks would make those comebacks if that made everything that susceptible.
Well,
he did something that's very hard to do.
But I'm not saying he didn't, but a lot of quarterbacks pick up a lot of their stats in general.
We're going to call this a 2.5 out of 3 win for me this week.
Okay, if it makes you feel better.
Do you
and
disagree?
I will go on the record and say that I hope Tua proves me wrong. I just don't think he's that good.
Is he on the path between week 1 and 2? To be an established quarterback by the end of this year. Respected, established quarterback.
He needs to continue going forward. He can't take steps backwards. Now, is he going to throw 6 touchdown passes every week? No. Hell no.
He's not going to do it this week in Buffalo.
It's not happening. Listen, you want to talk about a team that might have a chance to just stomp the entire league and go undefeated all Buffalo's scary.
I agree.
They are harassing quarterbacks and they're not blitzing at all. It's 4 dudes rushing the passer and they are owning people. Yep. It's scary to watch. If I'm an offense coordinator looking at that team, I'm like, oh my God, we're going to die.
Yep.
We're going to die.
Looking at the schedule, I mean, Miami's got Buffalo this week. I'm trying to pull up the rest. I mean, the next few games are brutal for them. But I don't have super high hopes for this week. Buffalo is for real.
Oh, they're real good.
We've got the Bills. Then we've got the Super Bowl contender Bengals. And then Jets, which they're looking a little bit more competitive.
Is that week 5? That'll be Zach Wilson's job again by then.
1, 2, 3, 4. No, 5. Week 5.
Yeah, that'll be Zach Wilson's first game back.
Vikings, Steelers, Lions. So these next 2 weeks are going to be tough ones to get through. But the point is, nana, nana, boo, boo, stick your head in doo-doo. And I feel like we can move on now. So joining us live from the studio.
Don't do that again. That was creepy.
Joining the Press Play Podcast Network just for one night is my good friend, Stephen Wyon Esquire. Hi, Stephen.
Gentlemen, hello. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. To the peasants listening at home, they can call you Drew.
They can.
Drew, you're an avid collector of things. Right?
True.
So walk us through. You've always been collecting something, right? Usually you have a little bit more of a rich taste than I do. But over the years, what things have you always been a little bit into? I know one. Early 2000s Diesel jeans.
100%. Flared leg.
You have a pair of Diesel jeans that have been to the dry cleaners to get patched how many times?
6-ish.
Yeah. How many dollars do you think you've invested in this pair of jeans?
More than the jeans cost. More in the crotch than the jeans have cost.
Paying the cost to keep bending over, right?
Like the jeans.
Yep. Well, that sounded bad on my end. But sneakerhead, self-confessed sneakerhead addict.
100%.
Yep. Favorite pair of shoes that you own right now? You just bought some today.
Just bought the Travis Scott Jordan 1s Mocha. I own them. Yes, I do.
All right. Best flip you've ever had buying a pair of shoes?
Also the Travis Scott.
That's right.
But the high tops.
Yeah, yeah.
On the high tops, off sneaker, legit. 160 out the door, 1200 in my bank account. That's before they got really expensive.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Very expensive.
Do you have a pair of shoes that was a total bust that you thought was going to make you a lot of money and you're like, nobody liked this?
Too many to count, but the most recent one was about 5 days ago that I'm returning tomorrow. J Balvin, Jordan 2s.
Oh, I'm the wrong one.
Oh, they were. I mean,
is that the blue ones that look like British Knights? LA Gear collabs.
Smiley face on the back.
Yes.
I thought they looked like the old puffy jackets that you wore to the ski slope. They like the puffy coat. Yeah. I didn't like them.
And the problem is they were 300 out the door before shipping and tax. Oh. So it doesn't leave a lot of room unless they're really moving.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you're a collector. You've got stuff that you chase a little bit. Sneakers, you always have a fresh pair of shoes on. But what I want to talk about is your extensive card collection and your obsession with one type of collecting. You definitely are in this one market that not a lot of young guys are in, but I'm going to let you walk us through that.
Well, anything I do is basically raw.
Did you say raw?
Raw. My life, my wife, my steaks, and my cards. Nothing but raw, boys. Nothing but raw.
What do you have against covering it up with a slab?
Just like to keep it natural.
Okay.
Just like to keep it natural.
I see you brought a collection with us today. Let's walk through this together.
These are my three prize cards. I have a lot, but as two of my best friends, you guys know how I roll when it comes to cards. I have a autographed Tom Brady, which may or may not be autographed by me.
That's the beauty of raw.
But you don't know.
Yeah, you don't have to send it off for somebody to authenticate it.
That's why I keep it raw. And I also have what I consider my favorite card, the Bo Jackson black on black score. Go ahead and take that. Some people say they have, what did you call the corners? What was the word?
They're more than a little soft.
Guys, what I'm looking at right now is a 90 score Bo Jackson. Three beat corners in a one touch, no penny sleeve.
It's raw, baby. It's raw.
It's an old car, but that sits in my office and
it motivates you
when I need inspiration.
I mean, look at him. He's just saying, "Come on, Drew."
Bo looks super hard, and those corners are super soft.
Yeah. All right. Last but certainly not least, I think you grabbed this one off of my table last week or a couple months ago.
Well, I've been saving this one. I think he's going to come around. Jonathan India, it's a top prospect. It's got a lot of shiny things and some good corners, but we definitely keep this one raw.
All right. So let's get down to what you like about us liking cards. Being able to flip this stuff.
Let's make some money. All right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So I want to dive a little bit into gambling.
I love to gamble.
I know that. You're my favorite gambler.
And I'm the worst and the best at the same time.
Yep. When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad. But the only time I ever got you interested in sports cards was when we found a Facebook group where you could play poker for cards or a cash buyback.
Greatest thing ever. 100%. Yeah.
You jumped into that, and for a week, two or three hands in, all in.
All in.
Every time.
Every time.
And that's how you got that Tom Brady.
That's exactly how I got that autographed Tom Brady.
Special.
Raw.
Special. All right, I want to move on to something else. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just swinging the mic.
For those of you listening at home, in our studio, our additional mic is malfunctioning. So,
by malfunctioning, you mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah, Gary's having to just turn the mic back and forth. What are you going to say?
No, I was just swinging the mic.
Well, I was going to ask him about soccer.
Oh, I thought
you were
going to
ask him a question.
No, you just took
the mic away?
I don't care.
Who's Kanye now?
Wow. Whose show is this?
Press Play Podcast Network.
Yeah, Mike, I don't talk to people
right,
that are broker than
just
me.
Real quick, Drew, I want to talk through soccer just for a minute, because what we're seeing as the hobby grows and you're starting to have these super high-end products is people are starting to look outside of the sports that they watch.
Yeah.
And there's a massive, massive international market for soccer cards, and you're like football guy, baseball guy, basketball guy, but you've always been a big soccer guy. I want to hear, you're probably the best salesman I know. I want you to make your elevator speech on why hobbyists need to get into soccer, what they're missing out on.
Wow, it's a great question.
Would have been a good one to give you a little bit of heads up on.
Maybe a tiny bit, but this is why they paid me the big bucks.
All right.
So the tiny United States that we live in, we're secluded on this tiny little island. I don't know if you've looked at the worldwide map, but it's you know, there's a lot out there that we don't know about. Soccer is by far the most popular sport in the entire world. Matter of fact, if you look up the most valuable franchises, it's only in the last 5 years that really the United States franchises, other than the Cowboys and the Yankees, have moved in there. You know, mm-hmm. 5 years ago it was 6 or 7 or 8, you know, European and soccer teams. But what you have now is you have just a momentum of interest. You have an uprising of young soccer that's coming in, and what you have when it comes to soccer and I would say cards and collectibles in general is you just have this market that's untapped, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's how many times have you flipped the Billy Ripken F-Bat card, right? A lot, right?
Well, I'd like to see it.
How many times have you clipped the Ronaldo? Have you flipped the Ronaldo F-Bat card?
No. Yeah.
You didn't even Ronaldo F-Bat card.
You didn't even know that existed.
Did you autograph that one? Oh, shoot. So, but one of the things I think, like I just had a conversation with somebody last night and they started talking soccer is nothing but MLS. Now, I think people know that there's soccer happening in Europe, but that's where the big boy soccer's happening.
Love
right?
The MLS. Fantastic. Good for them. Yeah, that's not even the G League. That's high school. That's high school ball.
So with soccer, there are similarities to baseball where you can prospect, which meaning these soccer players are starting out really young. So at what age are they starting to get involved with these club leagues or professional leagues? I mean, it's a lot younger than even what you see with baseball,
10,
right?
12, 13. I mean, you're signing a contract. So, you know, in the United States now, they operate like a European soccer team or a Canadian hockey team. So they're signing these kids at 10, 12, 11, whatever, to a contract and exclusivity. And the MLS is doing this, which is really cool, right? Mm-hmm. So if you come up in the Columbus Crew franchise, if you come up in their what's called developmental or their team, they sign you at a contract at like 13 or 14, and they have your rights. Now, you can still go to school. You go to college, which is pretty cool, and a lot of our players have, but that's how they do it in Europe. You know, obviously they're not going to college. They're going on to play in the Barcelona Academy or the Man U Academy or whatever that is. And that's where so many famous players that we know have come from, the international stars. But but that's the beauty of it. Soccer is starting to turn into, you know, in the United States, what it is all over the world. And with the World Cup coming in the fall, could not be more excited about this. Yeah. It's just going to be more excited. The United States hasn't made it in quite a while.
You got me to go watch World Cup soccer quite a bit.
Yeah.
A couple years. I mean, how often is this? This is how little I know. How often is the World Cup?
Every 4 years.
Four. So last time you had me get up, you said, come on, bro. You're going to go have some shit on a shingle. We're going to drink some beers in an Irish pub. And we're going to drink some Jameson.
And we're going to watch some soccer. Early.
Yeah.
So the beauty of this World Cup is it's in Qatar, and
it's going to be extravagant.
Yeah, so I'm gonna ask you both a question real quick. What's Thanksgiving Day weekend? We're all Ohio State fans. You have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What are the two most exciting events every Thanksgiving weekend?
Oh,
it's not hard. Ohio State Michigan game.
Correct.
Macy's Day Parade.
Fair. And Thanksgiving the turkey, right?
Thanksgiving turkey. Oh, yeah, Thanksgiving itself.
Not this year.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what happens Friday of Thanksgiving weekend at 2 o'clock?
Tell me. In the morning, afternoon?
Afternoon.
Oh, I could sleep in.
United States versus England.
Oh.
And that's what we call getting a mud hole stomped in your ass or is what's going to happen.
Back-to-back champs, 300 years.
The biggest upset that's ever happened. I mean, bottom line, guys, you have Turkey on Thursday, USA versus England. And then the Buckeyes versus Michigan on Saturday. You won't see me for 2 weeks. I'll be recovering. That's just going to be a flash.
I thought you were telling me.
Isn't England rolling country. Out, though? Like, isn't their front line stupid? Like, it's like Jude Bellingham and who's the other kid? Gavi doesn't play for – he isn't England. He's Spain.
See.
I've picked up in soccer a little bit. Yeah,
you had that guy. You had that one guy in England.
England is heavily favored. We are by far the underdog. But the point is that we're on the show.
Yeah.
And the point is we're getting Friday at 2 o'clock with the entire world watching. It's going to be a big deal. We got to show up.
All right. Well, this is just a little teaser. Drew, I can't thank you enough for being a part of the show.
Absolutely.
So we're going to have you back. We're going to do a special segment all about gambling. And we're going to bring Drew in on that. Hot takes. Maybe we'll run through a week of NFL games and see what he likes. Maybe look at some money lines on a Thursday night.
It's always going to be the over.
I'm not going to lie. Drew has goosebumps right now. And, well, I'm not going to say the rest. His silhouette has changed. All right. Moving right along. Thanks again, Drew. Let's talk a little bit about hobby news. So you and I were both so excited for Topps Chrome to come out. because these SPs were going to be monsters. Yeah. The rookie class that they were, you know, that were they were going to release with this, it was looking really promising. Obviously, people were chasing. Well, we got J-Rod on this one. So Bobby Witt.
Yeah, the five SPs were Julio Rodriguez, Bobby Witt Jr., Hunter Green. Who were the other two?
Torque on that?
Torkelson and maybe Riley Green? No.
Anyway.
Who was the fifth guy? I don't know. Either way.
But it was looking like a large, like a really good product. And sometimes they're holding the good guys till the next year. Topps loves to hang on and make you wait for Series 1 release. But with Topps Chrome, you were going to get a chance to have, you know,
yeah.
some
and
good
they
cards.
And they were not considered like inserts or anything else. They were extended checklist SPs like the Bat Down Acuna.
Yeah. Which meant it was going to be big money for like a J-Rod of that. It's going to be a monster.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's excited. They're buying product. All of a sudden, people open these up. Breakers are buying cases. And man, these short prints are looking really short.
There wasn't a single one for three, 4 days.
Not one to be found.
No. Normally, they'll end up on eBay within about 3 to 4 hours of the product releasing. So everybody's freaking out. Well, and then you had idiots who were like, well, you know how people are. There's always idiots that take the establishment side no matter what. Well, maybe it's just how do you know? Listen, yeah, I've been doing this for a long, long time. In the first 4 days, I would be willing to bet that there were at least 10,000 cases broken by breakers.
Oh, yeah.
Not a single one. Yeah. You can't tell me that it's that short printed. Like normal, like Bat Down Acuna was one in every three cases.
Yep.
So we should have seen several hundred of these,
yep,
like bouncing.
And I would see this happening with Panini more often just because of some of the goofy stuff that's happened in manufacturing, customer service reputation. I'm a little bit bummed that this was happening with Topps. But the other thing was, at first there was a little bit of a defensive response about this, right?
But from who?
Topps.
No, Topps just was mum. They just weren't saying anything.
Well, that's what I would say. They weren't owning it.
Yeah, they weren't saying anything.
Didn't even know what happened is what it sounds like.
Yeah, so then they came out with a statement, and they dropped the statement at like 10 o'clock at night. Wonderfully smart. So the only person at Fanatics right now really earning their money is their PR team. This is two major screw-ups in 3 months. First, we had the forged signatures, the Austin Meadows, Randy Arozarena signatures, the obviously forged stuff. And now this. So Topps releases a statement, and their statement was super carefully worded, said, due to miscommunications in manufacturing, these cards have not been put into hobby product, is what it said. It didn't say anything about retail. And they came up with a solution. I don't know that it's a good solution, but I also don't know what else they could have done. The solution was if you can prove that you purchased a box or a case, they would send you one silver pack for every hobby box product that you...
But they're still not guaranteeing any short prints.
No, they're not guaranteeing, but they were going to randomly insert those into these newly formed packs, right? Well, the problem with that is how many people...
Already paid for a break.
Well, we're buying into breaks. And here's the problem. There are a lot of stand-up breakers out there. There really are. And they will do the right thing. The big names, Layton, Mojo Break, Ultimate Box Breaks. Like the guys who've been doing this for a long time and have a large clientele and who this is like how they make their living, they'll make it right. Geo Breaks, like those guys. But for every one guy like that, one company like that, there are 10 or 15 dudes who break out of their mom's basement.
There are 10 or 15 dudes with a box cutter out to their employees.
just wait, because here's what's going to happen. Those guys are going to get these packs.
Yep.
They are not going to make it right and go back and say, okay, these people have bought these teams in this break, and it was this case, so I'm going to rip 12 of these packs, and if they hit, they get the cards. I guarantee you these dudes will be running new breaks with just those packs and double dipping. Mm-hmm. So Topps released that statement, and immediately hobby box prices tanked. Mm-hmm. And I think that realistically, those hobby boxes are going to get down to 170, 175, which is where they should be.
Makes me feel a little bit like ripping some hobby.
Yeah, they came. I would buy some hobby at that.
Yeah.
Well, then yesterday they came out with another statement. The cards also didn't make it into retail. Mm. Well, here's a problem. You know what hobby I mean, you know what retail price is on Blasters or Topps Chrome this year?
Too much.
At Walmart and Target, it's $35. At Meijer, it's $40. Mm-hmm. Without those in there, it's rough. In that same statement, they did let us know that they did make it into the Hobby Lite product. Well, guess what the Hobby Lite product prices did immediately? Almost freaking doubled.
And you know there had to be some breakers that had the light. They're like, man, how am I going to move all this when I have the, you know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes that light product, it's just so, it's what you're going to hit out of it probably doesn't justify, unless it's a case.
I'm a big Bowman light guy.
Yeah.
Because
but you need multiple boxes to make a break worth it.
You do. The light product doesn't guarantee autographs.
Yeah.
But Hobby guarantees autographs, and 75% of the time you're getting a turd autograph anyway.
I'd rather have a really good middle relief pitcher.
Yeah, I'd rather have a really good shot at some good color and call it a day. So they're only in the light product. So the light product released at like 160, and it's almost 300 now. Yeah. And Hobby released it 3 to 350, and it's at about 240 to 250 now, and I think it's going to continue to drop. There are still some cool cards. There's still some SPs. There's still autos like the Julio autos, the Bobby Witt autos. Those are still out there in Hobby product. But the extended checklist SPs, which is what everybody was so excited about, they're not there. Mm-hmm. So if Fanatics has done some really cool things, and I like a lot of what they've done, but they've had two really big screw-ups in the last four product launches. They got to get their stuff together.
Yeah.
They really do. They got to get a couple things figured out.
I wonder if it kind of makes me wonder, like, over the next couple of years, as everything's transitioning to whatever Fanatics is going to be, is there going to be more bumps in the road of them putting new systems in place? More products are going to have issues? I think so.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's sad when you see some staple products like this where you're starting to deal with it. I know a lot of baseball collectors are really looking forward to this product.
Well, and it looks like, from what I've seen, I've watched a few cases get ripped. The scary thing about the product that I've seen, especially now that the SPs aren't in there, is the value return on the product has been brutal. Mm-hmm. I've seen cases, and some people were in these cases at $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen cases get ripped and pull $400 of cards out of the case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, rough.
Yeah.
Like, really, really rough. So they're going to have to figure something. And the quality control on the product this year seems to be really poor too. A lot of scratched up cards.
Yeah.
Centering hasn't been a thing, but there's been a lot of just like rough quality control as well, which is a bummer because that's something that Topps always had over Panini. Like, Topps' quality control was so much better. But if they're ramping up production and they're not putting systems in place to cover that quality control with ramped up production, you're going to have some messes on your hands.
Yeah, I agree. I'm bummed out about it. I didn't write down a whole lot of other news because I was just mostly excited about our intro of trying to make you look bad. NFL, we're going to do a little segment before we wrap up here. Bust or breakout, just a couple positions that we're talking about, but players that on the fantasy end, there's a lot of hype around. People were excited about them having a big year, and they're either not doing it or it might be better than we thought. Up first, QB, we mentioned it. We actually mentioned both positions, but we're going to break it down a little further. Breakout or bust year for Matt Ryan?
It's been bad so far.
Like, what is happening?
He looks like he's 70 years old.
This reminds me of when the Reds made a trade involving a guy named, I think his name was Majewski, a relief pitcher. But there was a whole thing about damaged goods. And did you really send a healthy player without injury? It didn't look like Matt Ryan. It didn't even look like an aged Matt Ryan.
Yeah, so Matt Ryan
didn't have a lot of help this Sunday.
Well, so what's happening right now, I think, one, the offensive line is really performing poorly. That's been a lot of Jonathan Taylor's issue, the offensive line.
He had a terrible week.
Yeah,
four touches.
Surprising.
Help me understand, and this is football IQ stuff. He had four touches.
Yep.
Is it just not when the pocket's being torn apart like that, or the line's getting destroyed, is it just not worth risking it? Is that what's going through their mind?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, a play caller is going to attempt to take whatever the defense gives. And you also saw Matt Ryan check out of runs a lot.
Yeah.
Because the defense was putting six and seven guys in the box.
Yep.
And to an extent, that was successful. But you know how we had talked all the way leading up into the season, and I still will say, like, there are quarterbacks that aren't capable of pushing the ball down the field, but that's never been Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. Right now, Matt Ryan does not look capable of pushing the ball down the field. Now, it doesn't help that his top two wide receivers were hurt.
Yep.
They're splitting Nyheim Hines out wide because mm-hmm. Michael Pittman's out, Alec Pierce is out. Like,
that really doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help at all. You got,
because everybody's calling your bluff.
Paris Campbell at that point's your best healthy receiver, and he hasn't played more than four games in 4 years. So it's like,
stack the box.
Yeah, that's what was happening. And Matt Ryan just doesn't have any mobility left at all. So when the pocket starts to break down, he can't even slide around in the pocket anymore. Like, Tom Brady at least can still slide around a little bit. Although, if you want to talk about guys that are starting to look their age, through 2 weeks, Tom Brady looks every bit of 45 years old.
He is such a mental player.
Yes.
That I think that as news about his personal life is emerging, challenges – when you watch the documentary, the years that he was off, it was often related to things that he was focused on, challenges in his personal life.
Yeah, outside of
football. So he is somebody that plays when he's in the zone and a groove mentally.
Well, and one of the things that I think people forget about when it comes to Tom Brady
is that he is 40 in the mid-40s.
He's 45. He's 2 months older than me.
Man, what could have been, Gary?
No, I was never that good. Even if I'd had the opportunities, I was never that good. Thought I was, wasn't. But
you know what? I want to pause and just appreciate the humility, the transparency.
I mean, it is what it is.
This is a refreshing moment for our audience.
My knees and the rest of the joints in my body wish that I had had that humility at 24 or 25 instead of 29. But the thing about, so Peyton Manning is a really good example of somebody at the end of their career had lost all physical. He even talks about it now. That last year he played, he couldn't throw the ball 30 yards.
Well, getting out of bed he said, you start out, you wake up Sunday, you're sore, you go do what you got to do. Then it became Tuesday, then it became Wednesday. Then it started becoming Thursday before I could really get moving and work.
Yeah, but what made him survive and why they well, lots of reasons that they benched old boy Paxton Lynch going into that playoff run when they won that last Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But you watched him play. There was nothing left in his arm. There was no juice. I have more juice in my arm right now than he had at the end of his career.
Say it again.
It's the truth.
No, but say that sentence again.
I have more juice in my arm right now, and mostly because he threw for 12 more years than I did.
No, I want that sentence again because I enjoyed that.
I have more juice in my right arm right now than he had at the end of his career.
Now, repeat after me. I bet you I could throw a football over that mountain.
Nope, I can't.
Say, I'll be soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
But my point being that Peyton Manning was such a student of the game and studied film like nobody else that even with nothing left in his arm,
he knew what would work.
He was still functional. Yeah. He was so anticipatory. Tom Brady has never been that guy. Not that he doesn't study, not that he doesn't put work in, because he does.
Absolutely.
But he's not been that guy.
Nerdy.
So, right. So when the physical tools start to degrade quickly, it's going to be more of a struggle for him than it was for Manning.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they have. People have been saying that for 3 years with him, and he may flip a switch and boom, throw 40 touchdowns and 5,000 yards again. But through 2 weeks, he looks human.
Yeah, and for me, this was one of my big plays whenever we were building out our balling on a budget.
Yeah.
I was really expecting Matt Ryan to come in with leadership and experience, with young talent, and help with that. It seems like they don't really know exactly what the offensive scheme is supposed to be doing. They're not finding anything that's working. They're struggling through everything.
Now. The play calling feels grab bag right now. Exactly. It's like something's got to work. Let's just keep trying things.
So, unfortunately, on Matt Ryan, we're going to have to go bust, not break out on that. Up next, we could debate about it, make it personal, but I think we're better than that. But Tua, is it a bust or a breakout? I will say this. It's starting out to not be a bust. It's hard to be a bust when you're already expected not to perform well.
Through 2 weeks, it's a breakout.
Absolutely.
And
in the hobby, it's a breakout right now for sure.
Oh, yeah. His stuff has gone through
what did I tell you? Give me all your base raw Tua right now.
And you've got a stack of it right there. It's not all of it, but you've got a lot.
Yep.
It's so the thing with Tua in the hobby right now is his high-end stuff hasn't seen massive jumps, but his low-end stuff has tripled. Chronicles-based rookies, you could move Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Jalen Hurts for $3, $4, $5 a piece all day long, and you could barely get a dollar out of Tua stuff. A lot of times, 50 cents to a dollar. In the last week, Tua's base Chronicle stuff has gone from that to $3 to $4 a piece. His Prism Black stuff has gone from $4, $5, $6 to $30, $25, $30.
And let's not forget how accessible some of those lower end products were for him. So,
oh, yeah.
There's people out there that have 100, 200 of these. They weren't thinking about it.
My hand's in the air.
You could throw up a lot of those for $200, $300, $400. If you're not super confident on Tua right now, now's the time to flip.
Yep.
Tonight, before Sunday, before the Bills, for
correct.
The love of God.
Yeah, you sell need stuff to before the Bills.
Post them and sell them if you're not a hold on Tua. I want to see what happens this year. I bought more of him. I bought some SP stuff in the offseason that I just liked. It was more just nostalgic more than anything. Or nostalgic is not the right word. Just PC stuff. But after seeing him improve, it was like watching a different, like his attitude, like watching the highlights, seeing his confidence. If something could click where he has chemistry and he believes in himself and he steps up, I think part of it is when he's looking bad, he's scrambling, he's anxious, he's not patient, he's nervous, he's not looking
to rush.
He's like, don't get tackled. And his big mistakes that he keep making, as far as I'm concerned, is he doesn't know when to get rid of the ball. To throw it away, he's doing some stuff that's like, just get rid of it or go down and hold the ball, get it on the next play. You have the talent with that receiving core and with the rushing game. You have the talent to get the yardage back. The incompletion or the 2-yard loss is okay.
Yeah, well, and the like you said earlier, the biggest thing that I saw in that fourth quarter, one of the things that I did this year, if you haven't done it and you're a football fan, you should. NFL.com and the NFL Network have a package. It's like $40 for the year, $39.95 for the year. And once a Sunday is over, Monday games are over, you get access to the all 11 film. So the coach's film for every game. And I went back and watched that fourth quarter. And the one thing that I saw that was encouraging more than anything else to me wasn't the decisiveness or things like that, because he's never necessarily been indecisive. He's just made the decisions that Marcus Mariota makes, which is check the ball down.
Yeah. A little bit too weak.
But he was stepping up in the pocket, not dropping out and trying to spill out of the pocket. We call
that
spilling.
Not Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he's not. So watching him step up into the pocket and have some movement inside the pocket rather than trying to spill everything and get outside was really encouraging. If he can continue to do that, and if they can continue to call plays that work to his strengths, he can have a solid year.
Here's my play on Tua.
Still not beating the Bills.
If you're somebody that is a little bit confident with Tua, you're liking what you're seeing, I think now's a good time to grade it. I don't know if I'd go PSA even right now, because there's a little bit of risk. I mean, he has 2 bad weeks in a row. He's got 2 tough teams in a row. The market could tank on him, even if he does okay. It's just the way it is. The volatility in the hobby is just like that. But if you want to go to CSG, SGC, the turnaround times are pretty decent on both of those right now. The cost isn't too bad. If you have some SP Tua stuff, if you're thinking about investing or flipping a little bit, now would be a good time to send that off. Within a couple of weeks, you're going to be on the other side of a couple difficult games, but you'll have a graded card going into Steelers, Vikings, Jets.
SGC's running from, unless you're sending from Alaska, you'll have the card back in your hand within 1 week.
And where's their price point? $20 to $30?
$30.
Yeah. So you're paying a little bit, but it's a reputable grading company.
CSG,
for me, it's number two when it comes to value.
As far as CSG right now, from a bulk standpoint, is where my bulk orders go, because they just lowered their threshold for bulk to 25 cards. It's $15 a card. I just did a 50 card bulk order and I had it back in 17 days.
Now, the trade-off with CSG versus SGC is SGC has a reputation where these people that, you know, when you start to get traction in your eBay store, you have a lot of sports cards, LCSs, and people that sell online that are buying and trying to make that 15-20% profit. They're going to want to see a SGC slab. To people that are fans of Tua, it won't really matter.
CSG's pulling roughly equivalent to SGC right now.
It's getting there. Yeah. It's getting there. But if you're wanting to move the card quickly, SGC is probably a better move. if you're cool with holding it for a little bit, I still think CSG is going to continue to grow with the people that are invested in it.
They're grading 3 times as many cards a week right now as SGC is.
All right. Let's just run one more position because we're going on a little bit, but okay. I'm enjoying this. Two positions that are struggling and then one that's looking pretty solid, but all these are running backs.
So it's one position.
One position, two people struggling, one person that's looking good.
Okay.
Up first, running backs that are potentially a bust this year. I can't believe I'm saying this because I had first pick in fantasy draft. I was between him and Jonathan Taylor. I ended up going with Jonathan Taylor, but Derrick Henry, what's going on?
What did I tell you when we were filling out our when we put our rosters together?
You just weren't convinced it was going to be a good year for him.
He's 26 or 27 now. He's had
the workload has been
400
heavy.
Touches 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row. Last year it was a little bit short because he got hurt, but leading up to he got hurt in like week 8. And he already had 230 carries.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. I don't care how much of a physical specimen you are, a running back in the NFL is you're in roughly 15, 20 mile an hour car crashes every Sunday. That's what you're doing to your body.
Yeah. Especially with his style of run.
Yeah. So I just, and that offensive line wasn't as good. The receiving core isn't as good. It's Ryan Tannehill, for crying out loud. So who are you, who's keeping guys out of the box?
Right.
It's hard to watch a guy like that because you want him and he's so fun to watch. And even now when he breaks free,
losing Brown affected that whole offense.
Oh, 100%. Look at what Brown's doing in Philadelphia.
Losing Brown to Philly changed the expectations out of Derrick Henry. And he has plowed people. He's never tried to be an elusive evasive.
No.
He's fast. He can create separation and he's powerful.
He's 6'4", 255 pounds.
Yeah.
He runs a 4.440.
The guy's a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
That's really fast. It's like if the bus was faster.
But he's probably running a 4.6 at this point.
Yeah.
What's 0.2 seconds doesn't sound like a lot. It's a lot.
Until you have really good corners chasing you down.
It's a lot. Yep. So
I think he's had a rough year this year. Up next, we've both talked about it already, but I think that it's official at this point, and it makes me a little bit sad, but I think Zeke
is done. His legs are gone.
We really started seeing this about 2 years ago.
Yeah. And last year, the Cowboys, they paid him, and so they were like, well, we paid him, so we're going to give him the ball.
They keep doing that to themselves.
Well, they do, and it's tough, but and as a former Ohio State guy, as somebody who was in college the best all-around running back I ever saw play college football from a blocking standpoint. No.
Hold on. I'm going to bring Drew back in. Go ahead. You have thoughts.
My eyebrows just raised significantly.
That's fine.
As I have my Bo Jackson card, my raw Bo Jackson card.
Bo Jackson couldn't pass protect to save his life.
Didn't need to. He already scored 6 points.
But that's not my – I said best all-around running back from the standpoint of being able to catch – being able to pass block. He was one of the best blocking running backs I ever saw.
I think everybody expected Hall of Fame performances out of Zeke.
Well, the first 3 years of his career,
it
was. But again, in the NFL, when you run somebody into the ground, you're not getting 10 years out of them.
Dak was hurt basically the first 3 years off and on. Zeke was same style. He had an ability to be a little bit patient, a little bit too much at times.
He was that hesitation, explode guy. A little bit of Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Like, chill, go.
Great parallel. Yeah, I agree with that.
And they have very similar careers. 3 years of looking all world. And then when your legs start to go and you're a running back, like I said this at the beginning of the year, and after this last week, it's apparent to anybody with eyes, Tony Pollard is exponentially better than Ezekiel Elliott is at this point in his career.
Speaking of Le'Veon Bell, did you see that he was in a boxing match recently and put somebody to sleep?
I bet he did.
And it was like technically beautiful.
He kept running like a
jab to the gut, he kept jabbing low, and then he had a way of like leading, like that hand was going, and the guy, you watch the hands go down, you're like, oh no. Straight to the face.
It's coming.
Yeah, Le'Veon's got some hands on him. AP. It was Adrian Peterson. He knocked him. He put him to sleep.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zeke
is a bust, right?
Yeah, I think he's done.
What were you
going to
say?
No, I just, like I said, it's always hard with these guys that are entering. So Zeke was 2016 draft class. So this is his eighth year, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22.
Yeah, him and Dak were seventh, the same year, right?
Seventh year.
And Derrick Henry.
Yeah. This is their seventh year in the league. Running backs, not too many running backs stay productive after 6 years in the NFL. They just don't. The ones who do are the outliers.
Yep.
And that offensive line has gotten worse and worse over time. So having a guy with more burst is the right move, and that's why you see Tony Pollard kind of out-touching Zeke at this point, and I think it's going to continue.
Yep. Bright spot before we finish up here, Javonte Williams.
Yeah.
Looking pretty
good. Week one, you know what doesn't look good in Denver? Nathaniel Hackett. That dude is over his head so bad, it's not even funny. The first week of the season, it was almost a 50-50 touch split between Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, and it was a joke. You're watching the broadcast. I always watch the Manning brothers on ESPN Plus because it's more entertaining to me than the regular guys. And they had Shannon Sharp on, Hall of Famer, Bronco great. They had Shannon Sharp on, and Shannon Sharp is just losing his mind. Javonte Williams on the sideline watching Melvin Gordon get touches, and Shannon Sharp is losing his mind. I was too. This last week, it was about 75-25 Javonte Williams to Melvin Gordon, and lo and behold, Broncos win. They don't lose. Yeah. I think going forward, you're going to see that 75-80% share and touch carry to Javonte Williams. I think he's going to have a really, really good
breakout
year. Yeah, breakout year.
I agree with you there.
Yep.
All right, so next week we'll pick up some more positions with that. I kind of like that segment.
Sounds good.
That's a good one. And one final thing before we finish up today.
Fire!
We need to put a wager on this Bengals-Dolphins game next week.
Oh,
Miami's going to be coming off of a rough Bills. So here's what I'd like to propose. It's in Cincy.
Okay.
It's a Thursday night, short week after the Bills. It's going to be tough for Miami.
So we're going to record and watch this game.
Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking. You and I will be on a cruise ship in 2 weeks.
Yep.
First $50 casino credit comes out of the other part of the loser's pocket for them to gamble on the ship.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah?
Are we straight up or against the spread?
Just straight up win.
Straight up win, no spread.
$50 Miami.
Okay.
To $50 Bengals.
Done.
Casino credit.
Yeah. Done.
Right. Shake on it.
Do we need to? Is that where we're at in the relationship?
Reverend Drew Wyon is watching, officiating this moment. I'm on a hot streak. You know, you've been losing a lot. You've been wrong a lot. I'm nervous because the Bengals can be really dangerous. It's looked a little weird from them so far this year.
It has. It's been, as a Bengals fan, it's been a little bit difficult to watch. There have been some weird coaching decisions. Burrow early in games has looked really just skittish in the pocket. But I still think they can come around. They're only one game out in the division. They're 0-2. Everybody else is 1-1. Well, the Browns are 2-1 now because they already played. And the Steelers are 1-2. So a win gets us right back into the thick of things this week, and then we're rocking and rolling.
Yeah. All right. I like it. This has been the Ball Card Show, the sports podcast.
For the sports collector.
See you.
Peace.